systematic summary, but I will check. Ah, there they are. Sometimes life is so funny, we don't need jokes.
You see the chicks down to the bottom? No, I didn't. I didn't do it. Yes.
That's not funny. That's not funny. Ah, I did that one last time, didn't I, with the lady making the dolls?
I don't.
Every time she got mad at her.
He didn't hear it because he wasn't here. He was tardy. But...
Yep, I missed it.
That is so bad. This guy had a terrible stutter. And the only way he could get it out is if he sang when he was really stuck. And so two of his friends working in the mine when there was a mine accident. And one of them was John Rawlings and one was Harry Duda. And it was this guy's job to go inform John's wife that he died. Hard job. So he goes and knocks on her door. She says, yes, John, what can I do for you? I mean, what, Harry, okay. He goes, John. He goes on and on like that. And finally he says, guess who died in the mine last night? Duda, Duda. His name was Duda. Anyway, so much for that. Guess who died in the mine? Okay, you should have notes here. There was one thing I thought we might possibly... I want to make sure you got it. And that was under last week's heresies affecting the incarnation, attacking it, under kenoticism from kenosis means emptying, kenao means to empty, Philippians 2:7, Christ emptied himself. Literally, that's a wooden translation. The participle that follows tells us he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. So that's what it means. Anyway, there were theories whereby what he emptied himself literally of were divine attributes. And that's wrong. So I said a key point here is distinguishing between possession of attributes and use of attributes. My example was Jackie Joyner Kersee, who in the height of her powers, unless you were a male sprinter, she could beat you in a 100-yard dash, right? She was that good. A male sprinter at the top of his game could beat her, all right? But no women couldn't beat her. She won the heptathlon in the Olympics a couple of times in a row. Anyway, I think she's a believer. And has used her fame and fortune to help a lot of people, inner city people in East St. Louis. In any case, but if she tied her legs up with her daughter for the three-legged race, you could outrun her, which would be stupid. You're not tied up. But I beat Jackie Joyner. Yeah, you did, because she took onto herself limitations for the sake of fun and games. You with me? Jesus didn't take limitations for the sake of fun and games. He possesses his divine attributes. He didn't give them up. He gave up the independent use of them. So he never used them out of the Father's will. Early on when I came to that conclusion, or probably read it somewhere and accepted it, I thought it was a once for all deal. Now I think it's once for all and then every day of his life on earth. So he's fully divine, became fully and genuinely human. Sin is not an essential part of humanity. It's a derangement, an aberration, a marring of the God's beautiful creation. And he has not given up those attributes. Doesn't he cast out demons by the Holy Spirit? Yes, because that was the Father's will. Does he sometimes use his divine powers as the God-man? Yes. I think when he says, I am, and they come to arrest him in John 18, and people fall down, I think that's not relying on the Holy Spirit. Although you probably cannot totally separate that. We cannot separate him into two persons. So I keep saying the person with reference to his divine nature or human nature. He tells the paralytic in Mark 2, your sins are forgiven you. Now, a charlatan could say those words, but he did an invisible miracle. We can't do it like that. We can say, Randy, will you forgive me, brother, for like that? And that's man to man, person to person, right? That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about forgiving that man's sins as God forgives sins. So at times he used those divine attributes. I don't mean to malign fellow believers for whom I have great respect, but there are Christian philosophers, truly Christian, truly evangelical, who say Jesus has all his divine powers, but did not use them at all. Always worked through, always relied on the Holy Spirit. We, not just me, but some others, think this is a practical kenosis. We don't like it. They are orthodox. These are the Christian philosophers, and they're good men, and have done a lot of good at Talbot Seminary. Anyway, that's a little bit of a issue in Reformed theology. Any questions on the attacks on our Lord's incarnation? Then I'm ready to go to systematic theology, believe it or not. How many months ago did we start this? If you don't have a handout, please raise your hand. Curtis, you get one? I made 40 of them. Should be a bunch by Steve there, by Abby. Okay, here's the systematic grid, and you should give thanks to Jack Riles, who really does motivate me. Please give me notes. And that's, I get it. I like notes myself. A systematic summary. We've done a lot of Bible study. We talked about heresy. We talked about all kinds of things. Now we're ready to actually draw conclusions, saying this is what the Bible teaches. The preexistence of the Son. Bethlehem was not the beginning of the Son of God, right? It was the beginning of his, what? Humanity, human nature. The incarnation of the Son. In some ways, the most fundamental, that probably is a good way to say it, miracle of Christianity. Nothing's more important than the cross and the empty tomb. Nothing. But there would be no cross and empty tomb apart from the incarnation. The eternal, almighty Son of God, the Son, became a human being. Virginal conception is really a better term. We think the birth was normal. The fact that the incarnate Son is God and man. Carol, would you take two of these and pass one on to your crony, partner up here? The unity of the person of Christ. One thing I forgot to write in it when I was doing this here. Pray for Mary Pat. She is a hurting puppy. The knee replacement is doing well. The sciatica is not doing well. MRI has showed trouble, lumbar pinching at least, and maybe some other trouble. So more testing is coming. She's in constant pain. So please pray for her. I am her caregiver now. It's a privilege, but it's work. Somehow I'm still getting my hours in, which is great. I'm under the unity of the person of Christ. I meant to write in, I forgot. Communication of properties. Communication of properties. You remember, that's where Scripture, the Bible itself, refers to the incarnate Son by a divine title and ascribes to him things that pertain to a man, not God per se. Communication of attributes or properties. 1 Corinthians 2, is it 8? They crucified the Lord of glory. Lord of glory is a divine title. Glorious Lord, Lord of glory. Crucifixion. God can't be crucified. God can't be crucified, but the one they crucified was God. So, anyway, more like that. 1 John 2, 1 John 1, 1 and 2. Word of life is a divine title. We saw, we heard, and our hands, this is the one that would kill Greeks. Our hands touched the word of life. They would say, no, they didn't. That's impossible. You can't touch God. The one they touched was God. So that's why it's under the unity of the person. Because this way of speaking, that's the Reformed way of handling it. Our Lutheran brothers and sisters say actual impartation of properties, qualities, attributes from his divine nature to his human nature in his glorification, exaltation, resurrection, and so forth. The Reformed say no. It's a figure of speech. It's a way of speaking that emphasizes this one who's called God. Acts 4, they killed the author of life. What? That's wild. The author of life means the creator. They killed the creator? They can't do that. Oh, the one they killed was God's agent in creation. Anyway. And two states doctrine, state of humiliation, state of exaltation. Three offices, or actually maybe better said, threefold office. Prophet, priest, and king. Any questions on the systematic grid? Where did it come from? Directly from the Bible? No. It comes from the history of theology, and it comes from philosophy. Pre-existence. When did Jesus begin to exist?
Always.
Always. It's actually an incorrect answer. His heart is in the right place.
He never began.
Jesus is the only.
What's that? The man Jesus, yes, Jesus is his human name. Both Joseph and Mary were told, name the baby Jesus. So in my own notes it said the preexistence of Christ. Even that's not right. How can we refer to the preexistent one who became Jesus? We can call him the eternal Son of God, is beautiful, or God the Son. John 1 calls him the Word. Or the light. How about the second person of the Trinity? All these are ways. So technically, Jesus was not eternal. The Son of God is eternal. Pre-existence. John the Baptist in John 1:15 says, the one who comes after me has, John's playing with words. Even the ESV translate, paraphrases. If you don't do that, it's John bears witness concerning him and has cried out saying, this was the one of whom I said, the one who comes after me, referring to Jesus, the one who comes after me has become before me in rank because he was before me in time. The one who comes after me, Jesus was born how many months after John the Baptist? 3 months. So John the Baptist is 3 months older than Jesus. the God-man Jesus. Never any mere man Jesus, but he's 3 months older than Jesus' humanity. The one who comes after me, and it's the same with their 30 years old ministries beginning, right? So John's been doing this deal for three months, and he hasn't been killed yet. Yes, John's a piece of work. I'm still flabbergasted. No prophets for 400 years. You know what 400 years is? Today is the 400th anniversary of the Army, United States Army. 250th. What was it? 250th, sorry. It is older than the Constitution. Well, that means our country is only 250 years old. You know what 400 years is? You know what 400 years in Egyptian slavery is? Would you have believed? Your great, 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 great. That would be really hard. Man. Anyway, 400 years, no prophets. By the way, that's why scholars study the intertestamental writings to help understand the linguistic and cultural background of the New Testament. Yes, as a matter of fact, although the Old Testament is at least 400 years before the New, it is a more important background than the intertestamental stuff. That's incredible because it's God's Word. But the intertestamental stuff has an impact on the New Testament. It's just, that's a fact. I actually lost my way. Where was I, Curtis? Oh, yeah, yeah. So John comes. The hot word of God comes out of his mouth. No, he's got this Elijah get-up on. That's weird. That draws attention to himself. He's not interested in himself. He's totally a witness to Jesus. And he's preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins for the covenant people. Why do they need that? He's saying Judaism is insufficient. What kind of bird is this? And then how many miracles does he do to back up his word? Zero miracles. The last verse is in John 9 or 10. I always get that mixed up. I'm going to say 10. I don't know. One of those. Although John did no signs, many people listened to him. Something like that. I just cannot. You know, God sends a prophet. He usually does some signs, right? Anyway, John's amazing. But he says, the one who comes 3 months after me has outstripped me in rank. He's far higher than I am. He's before me that way. Get it? Rank. Because he was before me in time. That's a confession of Jesus' pre-existence. Bethlehem was the beginning of Jesus' humanity. There's no man, no living, breathing, body and soul man that God comes and indwells and makes him Jesus. No. The beginning of Jesus' humanity is in Mary's womb by a supernatural conception. Before that, the eternal Word existed, the light, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, but not Jesus. All different people were named Jesus. That's no problem. It's good to have a little humor in theology, in the theology class. Usually I would say, this is a church, you're not supposed to be smiling and laughing, okay? That always cracks people up. I'll do that at Costco. Anyway, that's silly. Pre-existence. The passages that show the Son being the Father's agent in creation. John 1:3. All things were made by him. And without him was not even one thing that was made. Something like that. Colossians 1, like 16-ish. By him all things were created. Hebrews 1, 2. Through whom he created the worlds. Speaking of the Son. That's pre-existence. Not of Jesus. But pre-existence of the Son. or to use John speak, the Word, the light, the eternal light. What a beautiful image. The Word of God, reflecting Genesis 1. The Jews, in fact, personified sometimes the word Proverbs 8. Wisdom and word, they personified. God personified. The Word is a person. The Word is eternal. Pre-existence of the Son of God. John 8:58. Jesus is debating the Jewish leaders. I mean, they really go at it. It gets raw, right? He's calling them sons of the devil, right? They return the favor and call him a bastard. Our father's Moses. Who's your father? Poor Mary. Whew. You are an illegitimate human being, not fit to be a prophet, let alone these claims you're making. Something like that's going on. Other times, Gospel of John is incredible in this way. Not one exorcism in the Gospel of John. I think 8 times the word demon is used. You know how? Every time in the accusation, Jesus has one. Whew, so nasty. And here's the worst part. The leaders knew it. That's why Jesus says, Mark 12, he cast out demons by Beelzebul or Beelzebub, an intertestamental name for the devil. There's one of the places that shows up, that intertestamental stuff. You think they made up? No. They were in a religious environment, and they spoke like their parents, mom, grandparent, like that. Anyway, and Jesus gets really hot at that because they're misleading the people. Another place in Mark, he says, their people are like sheep without a shepherd. Ezekiel accused the shepherds of Israel being false shepherds, slaughtering the sheep, not caring for the sheep. That's the background for John 10, I'm the good shepherd. In any case, Jesus says, that sin will never be forgiven. There's another one. If that doesn't show a divine action, I don't know what. Can we say by the power of the Holy Spirit that sin, some sin against us, will never be forgiven? I don't think so. That's to claim divine prerogative, isn't it? Whoa, unbelievable. By the way, the Talmud, problems is dating it. It's after the New Testament. But it calls Jesus a sorcerer. What that's doing is acknowledging divine works. Get it? Believe me, if he did no miracles, they wouldn't be attributing any of that stuff to him. Because that kind of leads, that accredits him. But they try to discredit him. In any case, any questions on pre-existence? There never was a beginning to God. From all eternity, God has been one God, existing eternally as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father always had a Son and the Spirit. The Son always had a Father and the Spirit. The Spirit always existed with the Father and the Son. John 17, is it 20, 24, 26? Father, I want these you've given me to be where I am. Be with me where I am. Because they have seen my glory, which you've given me. Because, here it is, you loved me before the creation of the world. It's like Ephesians 1:4. We were chosen in Christ before the creation of the world. There was inter-Trinitarian harmony, fellowship. There's love, communication for all eternity. The Christian God, if I can talk like that, other than the other monotheistic deities, the Islamic and Jewish gods, was never lonely. There was eternal fellowship, eternal relations. Van can tell you which works of Jonathan Edwards to read that will knock your socks off. Pre-existence. Are we good? Incarnation. This is to make the outrageous claim that the eternal, almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the sustainer of the same, the savior in the Old Testament, the one who will bring all things to an end, became a baby. Are you kidding me? No. I don't think there are such stories, and liberals used to try to make them, you know, oh, this is part of the God becoming a man, you know, fairy tales. It doesn't work. There was a whole school, history of religion school, that studied Christianity alongside of other contemporary religions. And some not contemporary religions. They tried to make Gnosticism a first century deal. It was not. And we know it's even admitted now. In any case, God became a man. He did not come and super indwell a man. There was no man Jesus that God came and divinized. Our Lord's humanity began in Mary's womb. Her question is a beautiful question. How can this be, since I have not known a man? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that that which is conceived in you will be holy, the Son of God. Oh, that answers all her questions. No, it doesn't. It says, God's going to do it. And she says, I'm the Lord's servant. We should honor her for that. We don't pray to Mary or any of that kind of stuff. Mariology is Catholic doctrine pertaining concerning Mary. This includes her being conceived free of original sin. The Immaculate Conception is Mary's Immaculate Conception, not Jesus. It includes her being perpetually virgin. Doesn't it say Jesus had brothers and sisters? Yes. Could they possibly be translated cousins? Yes. Is that the most normal way to read it? No. Is that how the church fathers took it? No. For her to be perpetually a virgin does not make her more holy. That's the thing. Rome sets nature and grace against each other. She was holy as a virgin. She's holy as Joseph's wife, having a normal marriage and producing other children. These are dogmas. Dogmas are official beliefs of the Roman Catholic Church, promulgated by a council or the Pope when he speaks ex cathedra out of Peter's seat. Every time he speaks, when he says, I'm a White Sox fan, that's not a dogma. That's a big mistake. No, I'm just teasing. I don't care. I think he looks kind of silly, personally, because he's trying to be human. But in 18-something or other, late 1880s or something, where's Van when I need the guy? Pope somebody or other declared that Mary did not die, but was bodily taken to heaven. You say, where in the world does the Bible teach any? It does not teach. So Rome has two sources of authority, sacred scripture and sacred tradition. If you have questions, please raise your hand anytime. Incarnation. Since Adam and Eve were made in the image of God, both of them distinctly, Genesis attributes the image to Mary as well. It's good. I like it. 1 Corinthians 11 could possibly be misread to say women are not in the image of God. That's a mistake. And no responsible scholar does that to the best of my knowledge. They rather say just what I said. But the New Testament, consistently, a number of places, Colossians 1, 2 Corinthians 4, says Jesus is the true image. So the incarnation is miraculous, but the path was already carved out because Adam and Eve were made in the image of the humanity of Christ who was still to come. It's not a totally new thing. It's there's only one incarnation, but the plans were made, the blueprints were written, I'm a very bad illustrator. You might pray for me. I wish Ryan could get in there sooner, not because of my preaching, but so he can get 2 months he's got to wait for his surgery. Pray for him. I'm going to be doing some preaching. I'm glad. But pray for me. I love it, and it's fun. So please pray for me if you would. Preparation. And also teaching some Mondays and Thursday nights and that kind of stuff. I enjoy all of it. My regular job, my boss is totally, do it. Do all. Teach Ukraine. Great. You don't have to work for me. I said, I'll work a couple hours a day, but I can't do five. Totally supportive. Mainly because I'm writing books for which he gets credit, which is fine for me. He wants to get my name on the books. I said, don't do that. Because he says, you're known. Well, if I'm known in Baptist circles, it's not good. Because I'm known, the Calvinist part is good. But as I'm known as a Presbyterian, a baby baptizer, that is not good. A baby baptizer, that's not going to sell books. So I said, I don't need my name. He says, yeah, but it bothers me. I said, oh, good, Morgan. No, I didn't say that. I mean, why would anybody have to be more famous than I am already? That's a joke. Thank you. Actually, my sales totals are rather meager, but that's all right, too. Boy, I got a check the other day for $100 for six months. And the book was written 10 years ago, so that's not bad, is it? Anyway, John 1:14. The Word, back up to verses 1 to 3, the Word became flesh. We reject Apollinarius or Apollinaris interpretation, merely flesh without a soul. No, the dictionary says it means a man of flesh and blood. The eternal Word became a fetus, a baby in the womb of body and soul. That's a miracle. That is a miracle. Nothing like it before. Nothing like it after. Adam and Eve were special creations of God. That seems to be a line in the sand. That there are Christians who hold to theistic evolution. God gave a soul to a higher primate. I acknowledge them as brothers in Christ and sisters. Van and I disagree. There are things Christians can legitimately disagree on. I don't know if you know the Gospel Coalition website, but D.A. Carson called out Ken Ham. He says, Mr. Ham can have whatever views he wants. And I respect that, his young earth stuff. But he is making divisions in Christianity. And Carson has like 50 names of outstanding evangelicals, including his own, who hold to the earth being very old. He says, I'm not saying the Bible teaches that. I'm saying the Bible is ambiguous and both of these views are held by evangelical Christians. So please stop dividing the body of Christ. Van and I would agree on that principle, that Ham is being divisive and that's wrong. Anyway, the special creation of Adam and Eve is important. That was miraculous. Adam from the ground. So his name means something like dusty or something like that. It's a play on words. E from the side or rib of Adam. Isaac was a gift from God to Abraham and Sarah when they were past age, right? John the Baptist, same way. His parents were too old. At least Elizabeth didn't laugh at God the way Sarah did. I'm too old. Shall I have pleasure in my old age? The Bible's not so squeamish about certain things as we are. John the Baptist, he doubted God merely when he was inside the temple doing his rounds. And God struck him dumb until he surprised the world and wrote. He wrote because he couldn't talk. His name is John, which is a shock. None of our relatives are named John. What's going on here? Then he can talk again. Anyway, those are miraculous. But this is one of a kind. The incarnation of the Son. Philippians 2 contrasts his being in the form of God and his being in the form of a bondslave, of a servant. God became a servant. That's so countercultural. Ugh. That's grace. God stooped. My, did he stoop? Hebrews 2:14. Since the children, in context, it means something like the elect. Since the children share in blood and flesh, but we can't do that in English. Since the children share in flesh and blood, he too, the Son, partook of the same things. The Son part, and Son is a divine title in Hebrews. Already in chapter 1, it sets it forth. The Son partook of flesh and blood in, I'll call it, the fundamental, the foundational miracle of the Christian faith. Oh, you could say the giving of Scripture is more foundational. I don't disagree, because in the Scriptures is where you learn of this. The cross and resurrection, nothing is more important. But this is so monumental. No sinless life of Jesus. No death on the cross. No resurrection and the rest of it. No second coming. Unless God became one of us. Mary's question is modest. Any questions on the incarnation? The big divisions of Christendom, Rome, Orthodoxy, Protestantism, agree. As a matter of fact, we don't understand Orthodoxy very well. I don't. I read a little bit on it. And it's problematic. But they emphasize the incarnation and the resurrection of the Son of God, like Russian Orthodoxy, Greek Orthodoxy. In 1033, the Great Schism occurred. The Patriarch of Constantinople excommunicated the Pope, and the Pope excommunicated the Patriarch. I don't know who did it first, but so that's a big division. Never healed. And so Eastern Orthodoxy doesn't acknowledge the Pope. They have a lot of things in common. The Apocrypha. A lot of things in common. A higher view of Mary than the Bible has. But they have these patriarchates that are led by patriarchs. So they have 5 popes or 10 popes or whatever it is. Big ones, the big famous ones, Russian Orthodoxy. I think Putin is a Russian Orthodox. You believe that? Yeah. We had friends who worked with Campus Crusade for Christ because of the name and the Crusades crew is called now, right? They worked in Poland. How did that go? These are wonderful people. They still work with high schoolers now in St. Louis. Their names are Porwal, Jenny and, what is it? JG. JG, when he went to Russia, had trouble. He says, they can't say JG, so I have to be John here. The first they went to Poland. And in Poland, they worked with kids. And they worked with appreciative parents. Because God used the poor walls to get kids off of drugs and all kind of stuff, right? And get them straightened out, and they came to know the Lord, that kind of thing, right? And they said, I said, how did it go with the Roman Catholic Church? The church basically left us alone. The kids, the parents were so thankful that some of the people, even the parents, some of them supported us quietly. Others really supported us. And some of them remained in the Catholic Church and preached the gospel. Others actually became evangelical Christians. Then the question is, years later, they're in Moscow. How did that go? Terrible. Oh, they still ministered to kids. And kids were still so messed up. And they got a lot of help, right? But the powers that be, and I don't mean the political powers, regarded the true religion was orthodoxy. So they were treated like cultists. No support whatsoever. Still led kids to Christ. And when I ask Van this question, you'll hear us say at times, we certainly acknowledge some individual Catholics are believers, right? And Luther and Calvin did. It's surprising to me, they both regarded some local Catholic churches as Christian churches because the priests preached the gospel. I guess that makes sense. Because like Zwingli was a priest. And then he preached the gospel for quite a while before he, I guess, became an ex-priest. I don't know. Luther's just a stronger cuss character, so he didn't stay long, and then they put him out next. Anyway, but I want to know, is the average person going into the Orthodox Church to worship a Christian? Van shakes his head. He says, I don't think so. In other words, his heart says he'd like him to be, right? But they go in and they light a candle. And the icons in the Middle Ages when the people couldn't read Latin, supposedly, you'll see like different TV shows, the cathedrals of France, right? And the people couldn't read, so the gospel is all over the beautiful stained glass windows. True? Yes. Do people believe because of that? I hope so. But apparently in Orthodoxy, there's just no gospel. Breaks my heart. Theology is so different, and I need to quit. But do they believe in the incarnation? They believe in the incarnation so much, it looks like salvation automatically. Father John Meyerndorf, a famous Orthodox theologian, and I read his book, which I can't remember the name of, John Meyerndorf. I'm not making this up. Strong affirmation of the incarnation. And evangelicals and other Protestants don't do it justice. You might be right on that one. Strong emphasis on the resurrection of Jesus. Same criticism. And you might be right on that one. But I can't believe it. Quote, Orthodoxy has no doctrine of the atonement. Are you kidding me? Oh, he had to die so he could rise. And as a risen one, he gives eternal life, especially if you take the sacraments within the Orthodox Church and like that. Oh, how could you possibly read the New Testament? I only want to know one thing, Jesus Christ and him crucified. The gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was raised again. And evangelicals have not emphasized that as much as they should. But please pray with me. Father, thank you for the clear teaching of your word concerning your son. Make us a solid here. Make ground us in your truth. Help us be unmovable and base our lives, regardless of what happens to us, on who Jesus is and what he did for us, plus our pastor and his relieve his pain, see him through these next 2 months before surgery. Bless him as he preaches your word and all who preach your word in truth around the world this day. Bless us and our families, we pray, through Jesus Christ, the mediator. Amen.